We are recording a day later, but there is a lot to go with the podcast today, including a potential Tyler Seguin retirement, Jacob Varana applauding him, trends continuing versus trends that won't continue, the Canucks, Phil Kessel, Carey Price, and so much more. Welcome to episode 155 of the Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast. Let's go. Come in, and thank you for your patience. I know the episodes normally come out on Tuesdays, but I got a little caught up yesterday and figured I could do it a day later, so I appreciate it. This coming out on Wednesday morning. I mean, almost the afternoon. It's like 11:57 here, but there's a lot to get to in the podcast. There's a couple stories I want to talk about first before we get into news and whatnot, and they're involving a couple players. We'll talk about the Canucks. We'll talk about Phil Kessel breaking the Iron Man streak and, of course, getting his 400th career goal. We'll talk about trends, big things, things that are trending early on in the regular season that I think will continue versus things that will not trend as the regular season goes on. But I want to start with this right here. So did you see the story? So Tyler Seguin, if you've listened to this podcast for a long time, you've heard my thoughts on Tyler Seguin. Listen, I think he is I think he's a really good player. I think he is at times where he has really disappeared in a lot of big moments. Now, stories came out afterwards saying the fact that Tyler Seguin was playing hurt for a lot of it. He had significant damage done to his hip. This was during the 2020 postseason when they went all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. I couldn't believe Dallas went because Seguin was just, he wasn't that impact player for them. Turned out, he had a significant injury he was playing through. Well, apparently, after that playoff run, in January of 2021, he was at a cottage with one of his friends in Muskoka, and he said, quote, "I looked over at my friend and said, I don't know if I'll ever be able to play again anymore." Said, quote, "My career might be over. This might be it. I just didn't see any light at the end of the tunnel." That's wild to me because Seguin, 30 years of age, still very much just coming out, maybe at the twilight end of that prime of his career. And when you look at Tyler Seguin and what he's done in the National Hockey League, his stats, people forget how dominant he was for a time being. Like last year, he had 49 points in 81 games. Tyler Seguin has had multiple seasons of point per game production, very high goal totals. He's been a guy, like there's a reason Dallas traded for him. There's a reason why Dallas gave him a boatload of money. It's because Tyler Seguin, for a good period of time, was a very high caliber player. I think still can be. Like, first year in Dallas, 80 games, 84 points, hit the 30-goal mark. He has hit the 37-goal mark twice. He's hit the 40-goal mark in the 2017-2018 season. He has had at least 70 or more points in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seasons, all consecutively. He had 60 when he was in Boston between 2011 and 2012. And since really the 2019-2020 season, where in 69 games, it was the shortened season, he had 50 points. The year after, again, 49 points in 81 games. This season, back on it, 6 points in 7 games. But Tyler Seguin, it's wild to me that a guy at 30 legitimately contemplated retirement. I'd never known that story before. And I got to walk back a little bit of my remarks for him about, you know, him declining as a player. One, it was due to injury. Two, was really for only a year. And that was the year after he sustained his hip injury, where he had the 49 points in 81 games. He's got 6 and 7 this year. He had a streak of 6 consecutive seasons with at least 70 points. If he can contribute, you know why I had this mindset? Because the premise in Dallas, specifically on their owner over the last few seasons, has been their big guys aren't coming up. Jamie Benn has really slowed down. And when Jamie Benn slowed down, Tyler Seguin did the same thing. And that's where I'm like, you need these guys. Like, you need both these guys going. And Sagan wasn't taking over for when Ben was struggling a little bit. So I don't know if you heard that story or not. It's a wild one, but nevertheless, glad to see he hasn't. Glad to see he's doing better. Glad to see he's producing now. And Dallas right now, I believe they're 4-1-1 to start the season. So a good start for them through their first six games. Next guy I want to talk about here. Really proud of this guy. Good for him to go seek help. He is now, you know, there are consecutive players that have done this. But Jacob Vrána will be unavailable indefinitely after being placed under the NHL/NHLPA Player Assistance Program. That league announced a week ago. Vrána will continue to be paid, but he's going through the process of clearing the program with the administrations and everything like that. He appeared in Detroit's first two games of the season, missed last Monday's game against the Kings, practiced the next day, and then made the decision that he was going to take a leave of absence for personal reasons, eventually going into the player assistance program. You know, he's only 26 years of age, and I heard this on a podcast with Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick. He talked about, Elliot Friedman talked about how you'd never be able to tell. Jacob Vrána was happy, he was healthy, he was outgoing, he was one of the funniest guys they had had. But behind all that, there was a lot more going on. And you hear about young guys going out and having a good time. You make the joke all the time whenever you make that trip down to Vegas. You know, it's always an extra day or so. But some guys, you know, it gets a little carried away. And for Jacob Vrána, one, good for him for making this realization. Two, good for him for making this realization at 26 years of age. I feel like it's easier to make that to have that realization at, I'm not there yet, but I can only understand at 35, 40, maybe you've settled down, you've slowed down a little bit, but when you're in your mid-20s, you're going. And all, you know, it's your friend group. It's the people you hang out with. They're all going, so you're going. But I feel like as you get older, you have a realization, well, not everyone's going anymore. I'm the only one left that's really going hard. Maybe I gotta slow it down a little bit. And we're praying for him. Hopefully he's going to be okay and able to come back. He has been a very productive player when he's been healthy and in the lineup. In 39 games, he has 32 points. But due to injury and now taking a leave of absence, he's going to take some time. But hopefully he'll come back stronger and be a big part of this very young and exciting Red Wings team moving forward. All right, let's get on to our next order of business, the trending and ending topic here. So there are some trends that have been going on in the National Hockey League that I think some are going to continue and some are not. And we'll go through them. It's a multitude of players, of teams, of little things that I picked up on that some of them I think are going to continue to trend. Some of them I think are going to be coming to an end. Let's start with the things that are trending so far, trending and ending. Here we go. Number one. The Vancouver Canucks are going to continue to lose because of who and what they prioritized this offseason and the direction this team wanted to go in. Last year, they made a late push for the playoffs. They switched out their general manager, their head coach, Bruce Boudreau came in. Bruce, there it is. And they went on a run. And Vancouver came close. And they started playing really well. It was very inspiring hockey. And leading into the offseason and this season, they were trying to make decisions on where they're going to allocate and spend their money. JT Miller was a topic of conversation for some time. And there was potential in trading him last year. They lock him up to an 8-year deal. There's money allocated there. Brock Besser was another guy who had been questioning, you know, whether he was going to stay or not. They lock him up to a 3-year extension. They spend money to bring in a guy like Ilya Mikheyev. That's $4.65 million from Toronto. The issue with that is this upcoming year, Bo Horvat needs a new contract. And Bo Horvat is a significant piece of this team moving forward. And they do not have the cap hit to do this. Last year, they made the trade for Oliver Ekman-Larsson. He's on the cap for like $7.625 million. They signed Connor Garland. Apparently, according to the rumor mill, this entire front office group are not taking responsibility because they weren't there for the Connor Garland sign. He only has 2 goals so far this season through, I think, 7 games. $4.9 million. That is a guy that they're going to have to look to maybe move. He's young enough. There's a potential for a team maybe to take him on. But a lot of teams are up against the cap. It is going to be a very difficult decision. And Vancouver's looked awful. They've looked so bad so far. They're not playing as a unit. Their best guy started off late. And now Quinn Hughes is going to be out for a couple weeks. And I genuinely think they're going to continue to lose. They moved a little bit of money out, but they brought in a guy in Ilya Mikheyev. And I said this earlier in the podcast during the free agency period. I think they're overpaying for a guy who had a role in Toronto, scored a lot of empty net goals, but can disappear at times. And he's had injury problems already when he was in training camp. So I think Vancouver's going to continue to lose, unfortunately. A team that I think is going to continue to win, the Calgary Flames in that division. They're 5-1 to start the season. They've won 5 of their first 6 games. It's the first time in franchise history that they have started the season winning 5 of their first 6 games. I said it. Yes, they lost Johnny Gaudreau. Yes, they lost Matthew Tkachuk. They got a haul in the Matthew Tkachuk trade. But the one thing that I said, the way they win that deal is if they sign at least one of the two guys they got in return, Jonathan Huberto, Mackenzie Weegar. Guess what? They signed both of them. Mackenzie Weegar is a grossly underrated top four defenseman who's going to eat minutes up there, along with Rasmus Anderson and Noah Hanifin, Oliver Kylington when he eventually comes back as well. The other big name, Nazem Kadri. They waited it out. They got Kadri on the long-term extension. He fills a big center role. Him and Lindholm kind of in that 1-2 spot. And then Jonathan Huberto gets extended as well. All your big guns are locked up. Basically what the Calgary Flames did, instead of having the window of like the 5-year time frame, they moved it up to now. They're not waiting on the growth and continuation of Johnny Gaudreau and Tkachuk and all that. They're in it now. Jonathan Huberto's in the prime. Kadri's in his prime, just won a cup. Mackenzie Weegar's locked up and in his prime right now. Your goaltender Jacob Markstrom's in his prime. Elias Lindholm's in his prime. You've locked up Andrew Mangiapane. All of their guys are locked up. Tyler Toffoli's locked up. This team is set for the next few seasons to go for it. They're deeper defensively. They didn't lose anything in my mind offensively, despite, you know, I understand Gaudreau and Tkachuk were 100-point players. But Huberto's got 9 points through the first 6 games. Kadri's got 9 points through the first 6 games. Their guys are still producing. They're just different guys. But I think they're better defensively. Maybe not Huberto, but Kadri's a very good defensive center. Mackenzie Weegar's a monster on the back end. Calgary is going to continue to win. And I think they are a huge Stanley Cup favorite, in my opinion. Them and Colorado, and maybe the Oilers in that division. But, man, Calgary's going to keep winning. They're legit. The Boston Bruins, another team that is trending in the right direction. They're for real. I said this. When they got David Krejci back from overseas and Bergeron and both those guys signed those cheap 1-year team-friendly deals, I knew they were going to be good. Charlie McAvoy, and they got, when they get, all their guys back, because I know that they started off on injury. Taylor Hall's been playing very well. David Pastrnak is doing what he's doing in a contract year as well. They've got two goaltenders who they really like. They're deep defensively, and those two guys in particular, in my opinion, really just allow them to play old Boston Bruin hockey. I really enjoy them. I really like what they were doing. I said that they were going to be a good team this year. They've gotten off to a great start. I believe in them. And the bottom teams, they're no longer really the bottom teams. Now, there are some teams, Arizona, they're going to have a rough year. That's not changing. I don't know how I feel about Seattle, but teams like Ottawa, Detroit, Buffalo, they might not finish in a playoff spot. Now, I know Ottawa's gotten off to a pretty solid start this season. But whether that continues or not, they're going to play right until the end. They're going to compete for a chance at getting to the playoffs. Ottawa loaded up. Now, they didn't address their defense or goaltending, but they're scoring. They're scoring out of their problems right now. It's very similar to what the Leafs have done for years. It's similar to what Edmonton is doing this year. Edmonton won again like 6-3 the other night. Like, they're just the games that they don't that Edmonton doesn't win, they lose because they give up. Like, they got shut up by St. Louis 2-0, but then they won. They beat Pittsburgh 6-3. Like, they give up 3, they double it, they get 6. But I like Ottawa, I like Detroit and Buffalo. They were all bottom feeders last year. They're no longer. They are going to be very difficult to play against teams. And I think It's not going to be this 25-point discrepancy we saw a year ago. I think the gap's closer. I don't know if they're there yet, but I think the gap is closer. Okay, and finally, let's move on to the things that I think are going to be ending, things that are no longer trending. The first one is the obvious one. Austin Matthews' goal drought is not going to last. He is way too good of a goal scorer in this league. He has hit like 4 or 5 posts already through the first 7 games for the Leafs. That line is not producing the way it was, but he did this last year. Through the first 7 games, he had a goal and 2 assists. This year through 7 games, he has a goal and I think 5 or 6 assists. He did this last year and scored 60. I'm not saying he's going to score 60 again, but once they start going in for him, it's like a snowball effect. They're just going to start going in afterwards. Austin Matthews, I am not even remotely worried about. He will start finding the net, and he's going to start finding the net in bunches. The other thing that will 100% be coming to an end, the Tampa Bay Lightning start to the regular season. They're 2-3 on the year, or 3-3 on the year. They're like 500. They are going to start winning games in bunches as well, and they are going to be right near the top again. They're way too good. I know they lost Ryan McDonagh. There's that adjustment period, and they get the effect where all the teams, at least at the beginning of the season, play them very hard. They know they're playing the Tampa Bay Lightning. They bring a little extra oomph, and you know Tampa gets every team's best each and every night. Once the season kind of settles in, Tampa's talent's going to take over. Their ability, their drive, their consistency, they will start winning games in bunches. Tampa Bay will once again be in that top 3 in the division, and they will be right there. I'm not worried about them. They've got the best goalie on planet Earth. They will be fine. One team that I don't buy into, and I'm going to get into it, and this will be the last one. The Flyers have gotten off to a great start. John Tortorella downplayed the you-know-what out of how Florida or how Philadelphia is as a team. They've gotten off to a good start. They've got a hard coach. They play hard. They're getting goaltending. But they are not this good of a team. They had this roster last year. James Van Riemsdyk is out long term. Ryan Ellis isn't playing this year. Sometimes you come out of the gate with a brand new head coach. There's new excitement. There's new ways to play. And you get off and you win, you rattle off a couple wins, you feel good about yourselves. But I think reality is going to hit this team at some point in the middle of the year. And I think the Flyers are going to come back down. I think teams are going to start understanding how to beat them. And listen, this could continue on. I'm not guaranteeing anything here. But I just don't think the way that the Flyers were projected this year, I just don't believe that they're going to keep this up and be a top 10, 12 team in the league. I just don't see it. There are too many good teams that are behind them right now that are going to figure it out. Toronto's going to figure it out. You know, Pittsburgh's already up there right now. Carolina's a wagon, as of course they are. Oh, by the way, the other thing for in terms of like trending, all the good teams that we said were going to be good are good. Carolina's a wagon. I know we talked about Tampa. Toronto's going to figure it out too. Colorado's a wagon. Calgary's a wagon. But the Flyers are not that team. And I think at some point they will come back down to earth eventually and we'll see them for what they actually are. All right, let's move on here. And I want to talk Phil Kessel. So sets the Iron Man streak, plays in his 990th consecutive game. He played 989 a game earlier against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Almost scored, had the goal called back from him. That was in the game tying game. The game he set the record in, playing the San Jose Sharks, he goes in and scores his 400th career goal.
Still 0-0. Kessel is on it. He's cruising. Kessel breaks in, shoots, and scores! Number 400 for Phil the Thrill! And the Vegas Golden Knights are up 1-0.
Well, we said he had a flair for the dramatic.
17-year veteran. Breaks the mark of Keith Yandel's streak that started in 2009 and ended in March of this past season. Kessel's streak started in November of 2009. He came on and just said, you know, there's luck involved, but he just wanted to play. He's just so nonchalant about things, and I think is hilarious. They really broke down his stats, and there's so many funny moments about winning cups in Pittsburgh and eating hot dogs out of the cup to, apparently he never drank water. He did a training camp one summer and he drank nothing but Gatorade or Powerade or whatever it was. He's like, I don't like the taste of water, which is funny because it doesn't have taste, but he just never drank water. He just drank bottles and bottles of Powerade. He's just the most unique specimen you could possibly imagine in a player. And I just find it so funny. You know, all the guys are just saying, when you think of guys who would play in an Ironman and you think of the bruisers and the guys who are incredibly in good shape, those are the players that most often get hurt because they don't have that, how do I put this, extra layer on them to soften the blow on certain things. Whereas when you get a type like Phil Kessel, who's an animal on the ice. I used to play hockey with guys who you look at them and you look up and down and you think that there's no way remotely on planet Earth that you're able to skate on the ice. And they'd be one of the best players on the team because they're just naturally good at it. They train a little bit, but they're just naturally gifted at hockey. That's Phil Kessel. And he trains a little bit. And like, I'm not saying he doesn't work out or work hard, but not to the level of a Nathan MacKinnon or a Sidney Crosby, you know, guys like that who are like gym rats. And Phil Kessel just has this uniqueness about him that allows him to put his effort in, but he really focuses when he's actually playing. He's a baller. That's what Phil Kessel is. Phil Kessel isn't here for the practices, not here for the preseason games. He's here for when the regular season starts, when the games matter. That's when you get Phil Kessel at your best. And yeah, there's a bit of luck in it. He's had a couple shifts. He welcomed the newborn child. I forget how long ago this was, but he skated for like a shift or two and then left and then flew to keep the streak alive, which I know people are pissed off about, but like, whatever, get over it. Who cares? But that's just the way it's a remarkable record to see. 990. He, barring any, knock on wood, but barring any setbacks, he's going to be the first player ever, and probably one of the very few ever to do it, but play 1,000 consecutive games. Not just 1,000 games, 1,000 consecutive games. That is absolutely unfriggin' heard of. So congratulations to Phil Kessel. 400 career goals, 990 consecutive games played. He's 10 away from 1,000, and that's going to be an absolute scene when that takes place as well. All right, and let's finish off here with news involving Carey Price. So Carey Price spoke to the media. He's been skating a little bit. He's obviously still on injured reserve, and there's a lot of question marks about his availability, his future, his career. And he talked to reporters about on Monday about where he's at mentally, physically. And here's what he had to say.
Carrying my kids up and downstairs is difficult. So my first priority is just to get my body in a place to where I'm pain free in my day to day living and go from there. It's pretty serious. And the success rate is, you know, above 50%. And I'm looking at my young kids and being able to play with them, you know, on a day to day is the most important thing for me.
So I like that for Carey Price, who, by the way, is not ruling out a career. He said he's just wanting to take it step by step, doesn't have a plan to retire at this moment. But the important quotes are, my first goal is to get healthy. Once I do that, then I can start considering being able to train at a professional level. Right now, he can't train at a professional level. So once he gets there, then the comeback will be considered. Of course, this all started, basically, what you heard in that was he wants to be pain-free. He had the knee surgery after the Stanley Cup run in 2021 in the bubble. He was unbelievable in those playoffs. I think he won two of those three series and won Montreal a game in the finals against Tampa Bay. They had no business being in that finals. They had no business being that far. They barely got into the playoffs regardless, and Carey Price dragged them there. They scored timely goals, a young, inexperienced, naive group on the backs of Shea Weber, Philip Deneau, who wasn't even scoring goals. He was literally just shutting guys down, and they were winning games 2-1, 1-0, 2-0. Deneau, Weber, Price. That was the heartbeat of that team. And then you had the youngsters of Kotkaniemi when he was there, and Suzuki and Caulfield and all that stuff. But he just, he dragged him there, and that took every ounce of him out of it. He had the surgery. He was put on, he was made available for the Seattle draft. And, you know, it's nice to see him come out smiling as well. He went into the player assistance program. We talked about Jacob Vrana earlier on in this, but, you know, he was the guy that went through it as well, where, you know, he opened up about things. He talked about his family life and the toll it took on him and his body and his family and all that. And he's trying to stay positive. He's 35 years of age. So, you know, if he left now, I think everyone would get it. I don't think that everyone would be too hard on him, but he, you know, he's not ruling anything out right now. But step number one for Carey Price, get healthy, be able to train at a professional level. We'll see what happens after. All right, some news and notes to get to before we head on out today. Canucks defenseman Quinn Hughes is out week to week, as we mentioned earlier, with a lower body injury. He hurt it and wasn't able to suit up in the Canucks' home opening 5-1 loss to the Sabres. That was a bad time. Bruce Boudreau initially told reporters after the game that he was day-to-day, but officially it is week to week. Ottawa Senators center Josh Norris expected to miss at least a couple weeks as well with a shoulder injury. He hurt it during Saturday's contest against the Arizona Coyotes in the third period, fell awkwardly with some discomfort, and was forced off the ice then. The Florida Panthers signing Eric Staal to a one-year contract on Friday. The contract, I believe, is league minimum or $750,000. Played with the Panthers in the preseason, 37 years of age. Last time he played was between 2020 and 2021. He split the year between Buffalo and Montreal. Staal made a brief four-game appearance in the AHL last year, and he had 5 points with the Iowa Wild. And he also was the captain of Team Canada during the 2022 Beijing Olympics, where he had 4 points in 5 games when NHL players were not able to go. Nashville Predators defenseman Mark Borowiecki is going to be released from the hospital, thankfully, or was released from the hospital Saturday night after he was stretchered off after he took a hit during a game against the Philadelphia Flyers. He was resting at home on Sunday with no major injuries, which is nice. He's going to go further testing later on this week to determine a timeline for his return. His head made contact with the boards, took a hit from Morgan Frost. There was no penalty on the play, and he was conscious and had movement in all of his extremities, the Predators said on Saturday as well. So big ups to him and glad that he's doing okay, and see if he can make a return to the ice at some point as well. All right, that does it today. Again, thank you for your patience. The episode coming a day later. Follow along on Instagram and Twitter at ST Hockey Podcast. I did not do this at first. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, on all your social medias and wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy as we get cooler and cooler, and the month of November is right around the corner. Happy Halloween, and we will see you next week. Until then, enjoy. That's a wrap.